If you've ever been guilty of procrastinating when it comes to cold calling and doing your prospecting, first of all, congratulations. You're human. We've all gone through it. But today, I think you're going to be very interested in what I have in store, because today we're going to be talking about the psychology behind why we procrastinate when it comes to cold calls and what we can do about it. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. Okay, so first things first, I mean, it's May 13th right now while we're recording this, and it's Mother's Day here in the U.S. and in Canada, so I really need to remember my manners and wish all the moms out there a happy Mother's Day. And, you know, I'm always afraid to say this because it's like I jinx the podcast when I do it. I'm going to try to get out of here a little early, right? I mean, I bet you guys say that, like, with work in the office. I'm going to try to get out of the office a little early today and get home and spend time with the family. I want to get done with this a little early because we've already been celebrating Mother's Day a little bit in the morning. My wife is off of work today. She works crazy hours, and she's enjoying a well-deserved nap right now while I record this. And then we have a tradition in the Castain household. When it's Mother's Day and Father's Day and your birthday, you get to pick what meal the other person is going to prepare for you. And if you've ever seen how freaking fat I am, you know that I'm either am a really good cook, or I am very serious about my food. In my case, it's both. So Mrs. Uncle Paul has chosen one of my specialties, which is chicken franchise. So I want to try to get this done, do some food prep, and I don't know. I mean, maybe have time to like kick back and have a drink or something. So having said that, today we're going to be talking about the psychology behind why we procrastinate. In general, we're going to talk about that, but then we're going to apply it to why we procrastinate when it comes to cold calling. And more importantly, well, what can we do about it? So I hope you're cool with that. I have absolutely no freaking plan B but to sit here and, like, you know, like sing like 200,000 bottles of beer on the wall or some kind of shit like that. So I'm not going to do that. So let's start with a study that was done by Dr. Piers Steele, and he's up in Canada. I think it's like University of like Calgary or something like that. But he did this 10-year study on procrastination. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that right now is going to come a really corny, stupid joke, but it needs to be said. What in the hell was he thinking when he chose to take 10 years to do a study on procrastination? I mean, does he not know how brutal we are in the world? And we're going to make fun of him, and we're going to say, what did you do? What did you put it off for 9.5 years? But anyway, we've gotten the bad joke portion of the podcast out of the way, and now we will usher in like the real meat of the podcast, which is this. Here's what they found at the end of this 10-year study, or 6-month study if they put this off for 9.5 years. Who knows, right? And who cares? But they found that the reason why we procrastinate, like a major reason, a major finding in this study, and this is not going to shock you, but you got to bear with me, got to stay with me here, is a fear. And in many cases, like not only being afraid of the task, but even like a doubt that they can complete the task at hand. And that's why people avoid certain types of activities. So let's take this a step further. And if we know, and there's a lot of reasons, by the way, why we procrastinate, but let's take that one, because you know when it comes to cold calling, there's a lot of parts of it that make a lot of people uncomfortable. And I don't want you to be ashamed of being a human being. I know sometimes, like in the sales circles, like we're brutal We are brutal to hang around with. And it's like all this testosterone that's going, all this peer pressure shit, like we're back in middle school, and God forbid, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to take a puff of that cigarette. You know, now you're not cool, and the whole group, like, makes fun of you. Like, that kind of stuff that's going on. I don't want you to feel ashamed of being human. All of us, myself included, have had, like, some anxiety with the phone. And I'm going to be real straight up with you right now. You know, when I hear people telling me that they love cold calling, I got to tell you, I don't know that I fully believe them. Because, I mean, I don't love cold calling. I don't. I teach it. I've created some really good results, like with my cold calls. And it's made money for my family. I like the results that I get from cold calling. But I don't love cold calling. I mean, seriously, I don't love it. I mean, I don't love going to the dentist and having them, like pull an effing tooth out of my jaw. I don't love going to the dentist and having them do root canal and hearing that drill and smelling that shitty smell, like, from them drilling teeth and stuff. I don't love any of that. But you know what I love? I love feeling better when I leave. I love, like, not, like, having an infection and, you know, looking like I'm toothless because I don't take care of my freaking teeth, especially now that I'm doing LinkedIn videos, man. I mean, like, how would you guys feel if there I am? There's your Uncle Paul trying to give you a sales lesson, and, you know, I look like a freaking hillbilly, man. It's like I got no teeth going on, right? So I get it, but, you know, I think there's a lot of bullshit artists out there that said they love cold calling. I don't know that they love cold calling. So I don't want you to look at that as the standard. I think there is nothing wrong with looking at something and saying, it's a shit activity. I don't like doing it. But you know what? I'm going to learn how to work through it. And there's people that say, that's the wrong attitude. No, it's not the wrong attitude. It's a realistic attitude. Wrong attitude is to lie to yourself. So let's get into that study a little bit more. And more specifically, what you can do about it. So if the major finding in this study that the guy procrastinated on for 9.5 freaking years and then, you know, came through in the last 6 months on the 10-year study. Meanwhile, he's probably going to listen to this and sue me for maligning his character. But it, I mean, like, shit, it had to be said. But here's the deal. If they found that at the core of this whole thing is a fear, you know, with the task at hand, or a fear that they couldn't do it, or a doubt in oneself or whatever, then I need to ask you a question that you need to ask of yourself. If you find yourself avoiding making cold calls, you need to ask yourself, what scares me about this? That's one of the questions I think you should ask yourself. I think that you should also ask yourself, I mean, like, if you don't like doing it, if it's not a scared thing, whatever, just say, you know, what is it that I dislike about it? What is it that, you know, like, really makes me uncomfortable or whatever? And now it brings us to the next thing I want you to think about. Many times you may not realize that you're scared of something because you're so busy avoiding the task. You don't look at it as being scared. It's almost like, forgive me for being a little blunt here, it's almost like you're lying to yourself and you don't realize it. So let me explain this a little more. Let me, like, as my friend Ricky Ricardo would say, let me do some splaining for you. You know, you have to look at your day-to-day, and you have to pay particular attention to something that I like to refer to as avoidance activities. Avoidance activities, and even to go a step further, avoidance activities and excuses. So what do I mean by avoidance activities? Well, you know what? It's like when it comes to, like, making your phone calls and doing your cold calling and all that, I'm not talking about calling people who love you, like your clients. I'm talking about like cold calling, calling strangers that very well might tell you to F off or hang up on you or like get like real dicky with you on the phone. And I know the New York market doesn't have, like, a monopoly on dicky people, right? You guys have it too, and don't lie. That's a New York thing. No, bullshit. It is a worldwide thing because, believe me, last time I checked, New York wasn't like, you know, well, whatever. I was just going to say something inappropriate, but I have to stop myself. It's Mother's Day, and I want to get off of this podcast and not, digress into something really bad. But anyway, an avoidance activity might be when you find yourself, if you're in a manufacturing environment, like going into the plant, and here I'm going to use the word again. I am going to get inappropriate. Pardon me. But like I think the technical term for it is like dicking around in the plant. It's like, what are you doing? You're dicking around in the, get back on the phone. Use your head, man. Get back on the damn phone. Or like messing around with administrative activities. It could be, you know, well, I have to service those accounts, right? I mean, God forbid. Seriously now. And like, I am going to load on the sarcasm. God forbid, man, somebody would have to wait a whole hour for you or a whole half an hour because you were prospecting and you weren't there to wipe their ass like the moment they need you, right? I mean, so we lie to ourselves. But again, playing kind of Dr. Phil here, like a Dr. Phil wannabe, I mean, a lot of it is because we're scared and we're avoiding things. So you need to know, number one, what scares you about cold calling? Number two, what are the things you dislike about it? Number three, what are the things you do to avoid doing it? And I want you to make note of those things. And now, what I want you to do, now we can use psychology to our advantage. What I want you to do, and it's something we've talked about here in an objection handling context, but I want you to use a pattern interrupt on yourself. So a pattern interrupt is when we look at patterns that we run or other people run. In this case, it's a pattern we're running that is limiting our results, and we do something to stop it and interrupt it and redirect the behavior towards something more productive. So let's look at what's going on here. If we're procrastinating, we need to do something that like stops it dead in its tracks and gets us back on track. So it really depends on your personality. One of the things in the way that I'm wired, and we're all wired differently, is I like to use a little tough love on myself. Now, if you're a person who gets their feelings hurt and stuff like that, this obviously is not going to be for you. But I'll use tough love. And I'll say to myself, like, I mean, one of the things I'll say is I'm like, you know, like, dude, you got to get off your ass and pick up the phone. Or like if I'm putting off doing like a proposal for somebody, I'm like, you know, do you really think like you're gonna pay for college for the kids by like waiting and blowing off your bread and butter, right? So like I'll do things like that. As a matter of fact, I do something, and if you're like not driving in the car, I want you to jot this down if you can do it safely. I call it calendar kicks. Calendar kicks, as in like a calendar kick in the ass, like having like a scheduled like kick in your ass. So what I do, let's just say I have a scheduled block of time that I'm going to be making cold calls at 3 p.m. All right, at 3 p.m. I'm going to be making cold calls. What I do is I have an alert that not only goes off at 3 p.m. telling me to get my ass on the phone, but I have one, and again, it's going to be tough love, so, you know, I just want to brace yourself. It's not going to be horrible what I'm going to say, but I have mine to go off 15 minutes into that activity, and it says, are you making your calls, or is someone taking your money right now? Because, see, I'm a very competitive person, and when I see that, and I have not engaged in the activity that I'm supposed to, and I see a question that says, are you doing what you're supposed to do, or is somebody taking your money? I'm like, F that. Oh, hell no. Right? I mean, like, I'm going to get in there now and work twice as hard. And my objective is always not to have that reminder be the thing that gets me on the phone. I would rather answer that with a, well, dude, I'm already at this 15 minutes, man. I got you. Don't worry about your Uncle Paul. He's on fire today. So that's one of the things with the tough love. Now, Zig Ziglar said something very interesting, and he did a CD. years ago, right? I mean, even before, like, it was like CDs. It did like a cassette. I remember the first time I heard this back in the 80s, like 1988 or something like that. And he did this thing that I think you guys should pick up, and it's called Goals, and it's like setting them and achieving them on schedule. So something like Goals, setting them and achieving them on schedule. And I remember it was like, I think like a 2-CD set or something like that. And he was talking about procrastination. And he said a few interesting things, and I'll share two of them with you. One of them was, he said, procrastination is also known as the silent killer. And that really woke me up, because in a way it became a pattern interrupt for me, because I thought about, and at that point in time, I think I was only like 23 or 24, and you know, here I am, like about to turn 53. So it was like 30 years ago I heard him say this, and it just, like, it always stayed with me. I thought about how much money in my lifetime I've lost because I've put shit off. But also, I use a little positive pattern interrupt. And I'm like, well, how much money have I made because I've gotten off my ass too? And I've stayed on top of a task. But he kind of inadvertently gave me a pattern interrupt. When he was talking about procrastination, he said, the rule is simple. You do it today. So when I find myself procrastinating, it could be with cold calling, it could be, like, my big thing is, because I'm a one-man act, I'll procrastinate with some of the administrative things that I have to do. I just hate that part of the business. I really do. And I don't mean, when I say administrative, like writing out a training program, even though that's like an administrative thing. I love that part. And, you know, course design, I love that part too. But there's a lot of like nuts and bolts type of shit that I have to do. And when I find myself procrastinating, I just kind of, like, because I work by myself, so nobody's going to, like, have me, like, ushered into HR for, like a spot drug test. What I do is I get up. Because usually when I'm procrastinating, I'm sitting on my fat ass. I get up and I kind of like clap my hands, right? Again, this sounds nutty, but like, again, I work by myself, so I don't have to worry about the kind of stuff you guys do. And I say to myself what Zig said, and I say to myself, the rule is simple, you do it today. Now, you can do all those things, minus the saying it out loud stuff, because that's stuff that's going to get you in trouble. So what you can do instead is you could just like get up and just like say it to yourself. The rule is simple. You do it today and you get after it. Now, the other thing too that that I would recommend that you do, and I've mentioned this many, many times, is creating a collage picture frame of your whys. Because the thing of it is, many times I really, and I believe this like with every ounce of my being, that many times we go off track because we don't have a strong enough why. We don't have that strong enough why. And for each one of us, it's going to be different. I don't feel there's a right and there's a wrong. There simply is what you have as your whys. And I think that having a visual representation of the things that you're working for in your life is a big help. And again, because there's no right or wrong, I think you might want to do something that's going to be a little counterintuitive for you. I think you should absolutely feel free to get greedy. And I know many times in sales, in fact, when I do this exercise in the classroom, I'll say, you know, how many people here, you know, have their why, the things that keep them picking up the phone, doing what they do. And, you know, all the hands will go up. And I'll ask people, you know, why do you do what you do? And people will say, well, I love to help people. And, you know, all these like really like textbook answers. And there's nothing wrong with those answers. And yes, that is part of it. But then I say to people, but what about, like, let's get greedy for a minute. And, you know, like, what are the things, like, you know, for example, I mean, you know, I'm always saving up for a guitar, and, you know, there's a trip that I want to take my family on, and not only just take them, but, like, all of them with, you know, their girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff like that. I want it to, you know, just be just an awesome family vacation. And I think sometimes people are uncomfortable to kind of think about those things because they think they're being petty. Or they think that they're being very, very shallow. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Because also, too, in addition to having, I mean, you're allowed to live your life. And I don't think there's anything wrong. If you want like that really nice car, put a picture of it. And if you want that really nice home, put a picture of it. But also, I have things in there that would probably be more practical to some, you know, to some people's judgment. What I do is, in addition to those things like that are kind of extravagant, I have also things like a picture of the dorm room that, you know, I need to pay for, or a picture of the logo for one of the kids', you know, college education to remind me. I got to pay for that shit. I also have the logos of the charities that I support. And if you guys have been listening to me for a while, you know that there is one picture that has stayed in my collage picture frame for 20-something years. And it's actually a picture of my family the first day that we embarked on a 13-day dream vacation in Disney World. And that picture means the world to me. And the reason why is because I set the goal to take my family there when I had lost everything that I had in 1995. Both the cars were repoed. I was over $60,000 in debt. And that, I hadn't created that memory yet. In fact, I had a picture of the Magic Kingdom. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm going to get there. And the story I always tell is that when I had a bad day, I would look at it and I would get almost mad. And not in a bad way. I would be like, you know what? F this. No one is going to deny me of the memory that I can create by getting my family there. I will have my family in that picture inside of a decade. It's going at my kids were little. I gave myself a decade to make it happen. When things went well, I would kind of give myself a pat on the back and say, congratulations, Castaigne. You moved another step closer to that dream vacation. When deals fell through, I looked at that picture and say, the reason why I'm going to get my family there is not because I just effed up this deal. It's because I'm going to take my lumps. I'm going to learn my lesson. And so help me God, when I get on that phone tomorrow, I'm going to win. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going, like, you know, kind of like Rocky, like in those movies. It's like, okay, I am not going down again. And I'm not going to even try to, like imitate Rocky. It's not going to be good. So, but I have that there as a reality check for me and a pattern interrupt and something that gives me a strong enough why to pick up the phone. Because I don't care how successful you are, there are always things in your life that you want, whether it be giving back. For those of us that are a little bit older and their kids now are starting to move out and get married, you'd love to be able to help out the next generation. I know I would. There are, you know, even things that you want to be in place for when you leave this world, so that, you know, kind of, you know, legacy things. So I think it's very important that you have that strong why. So that'll help you with your procrastination. The other thing, which I think many of you are really going to appreciate, I think you should look at cold calling and prospecting a little bit different in terms of the time that you allot for it. I'm not a big fan of saying, I am going to get on that phone for 6 hours. I'm not. Because if you don't like an activity to begin with, 6 hours of doing something you don't like is really not going to be good, and you're going to avoid it. Now, there's a lot of people out there that says, no, you should grow a sack and you should do it and everything else. No, I disagree. Because we could sit here and get pumped up all day long, but if deep down you really don't like the activity and we can't force you to like it, 6 hours is going to be an eternity. So what I think you should do is use the Pomodoro technique. Use the Pomodoro technique, which is setting a timer for 25 minutes. You're going to set it for 25 minutes and you're going to engage in the activity. You can engage in the activity for 25 minutes. Now, here's where the magic happens. When you do this for 25 minutes, you're only going to do the task at hand. You're not going to multitask. When you're making outbound calls, don't you dare take an inbound call. Don't you dare check a pop-up. Don't you dare, you know, like get like between a call, like check your email or like, you know, jump on and like, you know, chat with somebody or whatever it is. You're not going to do that because that's the kind of stuff that makes you inefficient. You're only going to focus on outbound calls. Now, every time I teach this to people, there's always that one person in the group that it's more than one person, because one person has the balls to raise their hand and call me out on it. But you see all the heads nod when they say the question. They say, but isn't that disrespectful to your clients if you don't take calls from them? And I'm like, who said we're not going to take calls from them? I'm saying for the next 25 minutes, don't take calls from them. We've got to stop living in this world where we must respond immediately. Because if you choose to live in that world, you will get absolutely jack shit done during your day. And you are going to be in a really bad psychological spot, because you did not go into sales to have a lack of control. Most of us in sales like to have a degree of control of our destiny. And when you're in a response mode every single day of your life, it creates discontent. And that's not a place that we want to be. So what I'm saying is, for 25-minute increments, you do not take a call. What you do at the end of the 25 minutes, if a call came in or an email came in, you address it. And I'm also here to tell you that you should absolutely not have anyone that's a client that's going to get all kinds of shitty with you for taking 25 whole minutes to get back to them. Do you realize? I mean, think about you. Right, for a minute. Let's make this very, very selfish for a moment. Think about you. If you have a question or if you have a need, if someone took 25 minutes to get back to you, wouldn't you actually be like, wow, thanks for getting me back to me so quickly? If they got back to you within the hour, the way I am and the way I know the world is, when like I call some of the people, like my accountant or the people who do my website for me, and they get back to me within 2 or 3 hours, I'm thanking them for getting back to me so quickly. That to me is where the bar should be set. But if we're going to live in this world where everything must be happening in the moment, I'm here to tell you that, number one, you have the wrong clients if those are the people you serve. That it must be right this second, whatever. You can't live that way. And you're not going to get anything done. You're not going to get any outbound calls done. But here's the thing about the Pomodoro technique. It's going to make you very productive, because you're only focused on the task at hand. So what you're going to complete in that 25 minutes might be the equivalent of 2 hours when you're multitasking. So the other part of this is that if you're experiencing any discomfort with your cold calling, and again, I want to be clear, I don't want you to feel bad or that you shouldn't be in sales, because you're human and you feel human emotions. I don't want you to feel bad for that. I want you to learn how to control it a little bit better. But when things make you uncomfortable, like the phone, now you can say, oh, wait a minute, I just have to concentrate, not on 6 hours now. I just have to concentrate on this particular Pomodoro, which has another, you know, like 18 minutes to go. Already nailed 7 minutes. I got 18 more minutes to go. Then at the end of it, you switch activities, you do something else, you check any messages that came in, and then you get back to another Pomodoro. So we're not saying that you're just going to do one 25-minute session and that should be enough. No. I mean, if you want to divide that up into several Pomodoros that day, go ahead. That's up to you. I'm just saying that you're going to work a lot more efficiently, and you're going to be able to get a handle on the procrastination if now your subconscious is telling you, you know what, this is only 25 minutes I got to deal with. Plus, you're going to find that it's going to keep you from sounding very scripted and robotical, right? And it's just going to be a much better way for you. So the other thing that I would leave you with, and it's just like one more idea, because I do want to try to keep this brief today. I mean, so much for that. We're at like 27 minutes. But I mentioned this like recently on this podcast. There was a point where I had to get back to prospecting, but it was much earlier in my career. And then I had to get back to it again after I lost my first business, because I got away from hunting, right? I was just relying on the business I had. And, you know, ever since then, I've been very consistent now for like the last 23, 24 years with my prospecting. But, you know, this, if you find yourself right now listening to this and you're like, damn, you know, Paul made a lot of sense today, I really have to get back to prospecting. You know, one of the things that was mentioned to me that it was just incredible, and it really motivated me to pick up the phone and start. This one guy, a friend of my dad's, by the way, owned an insurance agency, and they did a lot of cold calling in his business. And he was saying, Paul, you got to get back out there. You got to do this and everything. And he said, listen, and I agreed with him. He goes, Paul, you're going to want to avoid it because it's going to be an uncomfortable activity. He said, what you need to do is it would be great if you could reward results. But if you're rusty, you're not going to have great results right away. He said, instead, what I want you to do for the first month is reward the activity and the fact that you're doing something that you just haven't been doing, that you've been avoiding. So he said, you know, like maybe, like at that point, like Laura and I had just gotten married. And he had said, you know what? He said, you know, like at the end of a month, why don't you set it as your goal that if you do this for a month prospecting, whether you do well with it or, you know, you get your ass kicked every day, how about at the end of the month, you and Laura treat yourself to a really nice dinner, you have a nice night out, and just, you know, like have a nice date with your wife. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I'll never forget, it was difficult for me because, like, I hadn't, you know, it's like going to the gym and working out. When you haven't worked those muscles in years, man, you're weak and you want to say, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? And I was going through all that. And I just said to myself, wait a minute. It's like, you know, I really want to take her out. And I thought about that feeling I would have when I was like kind of saying to my wife, we're here because I kicked my own ass this month. And I stuck with something that ultimately is going to make it better for us. And, you know, 1 month down and, you know, we're rewarding ourselves. And, you know, imagine how cool this is going to be when the money starts coming in from these efforts, because it will come in. We know that about cold calling and selling and the activities and all that. And, you know, sure enough, at the end of the month, we had that nice dinner. I felt like $1 million. And I'll never forget saying to myself, your job is to never forget this feeling at the end of the month after doing something that made you uncomfortable. You moved yourself out of your comfort zone and the rewards are starting to come. So that would be my advice to you. For those of you who are listening to this and you're like, I got to get back to cold calling. I got to get back to some of these things. Or you know what? It's not really cold calling for me, Castain. It's some other stuff I've been putting off that I know I need to do to get to my next level and to have this year that I set out to have, and I maybe got away from a few things. So what you do is you say to yourself, okay, these are the activities I need to do. And at the end of the month, I don't care if I fell on my face for every one of these activities. At least I'm trying, and I've been trying for a month. This is going to be my reward. Folks, I don't want this to be some elaborate goal that you have to do this in order, and then the reward's going to be something that costs you like $20,000 to do. You need some things that are the equivalent of like a fire starter for you. And, you know, like for me, and again, we're all in different financial brackets, going out with Laura for a nice dinner, I'm not going to have to sell off a kidney to do it. So it could be dinner for you. It could be, you know what? What we're going to do is we're gonna go to the park and we're going to have a nice picnic together. Whatever it is, find that thing. And what's nice about it too is for those of you who are married and dating, right? Imagine that. For those of you who are married and or dating and screwing around, what I would recommend that you do is maybe try and find a way to include your significant other in the goal and in the rewards, because it's just nice having somebody else outside of yourself that's committed to the goal and that's going to kind of give you, like, you know, a little ass kicking or whatever it is. But the last thing that I want to say that I want you to consider that might be a big help for you, and it's really the final reminder that you're going to get, is, you know, sometimes when you get some fresh, new, like, chops and some skills, some new ideas to try, it motivates you to do something that you're not overly comfortable with. One of the things that I want to tell you, and I wrote about it this week on the blog, a lot of people, a ton of people, and I think, you know, I'm one of them too, most of us in sales were not trained. And in many cases, those who were trained were not trained properly to make cold calls. Either, like, it was like the old thing, well, you know, just go out there and get them and, you know, like kind of baptism by fire. or maybe, you know, your first few jobs, leads were provided, but now they're not. Or maybe you had somebody who is teaching you shit that really should have been put out to pasture in like the 60s and the 70s. And it's like, you know, like Wolf of Wall Street type of shit that just, it doesn't work anymore. You really need to bring your skill level up, and you'll find that's going to do a lot for your confidence. It's certainly going to keep you from avoiding the phone, because now you're going to be, you know what, I've put the work in here. And, you know, I certainly deserve to get the success that I want. So I'll leave you with this. If you really want to bring up your prospecting skills a little bit, why don't you take advantage of the download that I've been offering? And this is unfortunately going to be it for 2018. We're not going to be offering it again. I only offer it like once a year. I think maybe I offered it like twice last year within a month of each other, but I'm not going to be doing that this year. It's called Prospect Like a Pro. There's over 75 ideas, and we're offering 20 templates to make your life easy. I mean, 15 of those templates are email prospecting templates for you. I mean, like, you're welcome. We've got one cold call template. We've got four voicemail templates. So there's a lot of ideas, and we even get into like how to create a really good communication plan, as well as how to hunt differently. There's a lot of places that a lot of people never think of when it comes to hunting for new business. So if this sounds interesting and you really want to like stop avoiding the phone and you want to put the work in and get better, you have to do it now. It's like May 13th. I think I'm 3 or 4 days away from pulling the plug on this and moving on to our next program. But if you want in, or if you at least want to check it out, do it ASAP. Otherwise, like, you're going to go to a website that doesn't exist because we pull the plug. I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. So again, that's going to be yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/salestips.